I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to have the opportunity to be able to preach this morning. I want to say thanks to Brother Ron for allowing me to share the pulpit with him this week while he's off this week and hopefully having some rest and some family time. Also, just so excited to be here. So excited to see people's faces. Like Brandon said, I've been doing the Wednesday nights, and Roxanne and Sarah have been there with me. They're great. They amen me, and they laugh at my jokes most of the time, but it's nice to have other faces to look at this morning. Some of you guys may know me, see me around. My name is Logan Clemens. I'm an import to Meade County. I married Brianna Schultz. I grew up in Grayson County, Kentucky, and out of high school, got a degree in nursing, started doing that, did that for a couple years, and stopped, just had to get out of the hospital. Wanted to do something a little bit different. The last few years I've been working for a landscape company here in town, just enjoying that, and just excited to be with you guys today. Get my notes pulled up here and get ready to talk about Ain't That the Truth today. And as we get ready to think about that, be thinking about what truth is. And start to think about what your definition of truth would be. Let's pray before we start this morning. God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for a beautiful day. God, I thank you for the sunlight coming through these windows here and showing us just kind of the little kisses that you give us when you do that. I thank you, God, for how great you really are. Singing those songs today just reminds me that there is none like you. There never has been and there never will be anyone who can compare to who you are. And we lift your name in praise to that today, God, and just to recognize how awesome and how incredible you are, but how personable and how real you are as well. God, I pray that you would use me today. I pray that I would be an instrument that's just directly doing work by your hands. I pray that you would completely remove me from this equation today, that all that would be heard, all that would be seen is the word that comes straight from you. Thank you for this opportunity and the opportunity to be in the house with people today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So, it was kind of funny how this message came about. I was actually texting my little brother about something we were talking about and tried to text him the phrase, "Ain't that the truth?" And what happened was, when I was texting him, I spelled truth wrong. I spelled it T-R-I-T-H. And, of course, you know, Apple, with its incredible autocorrect, fixed it to truth immediately. But I just was going on about that, and later in the day I was kind of praying that God would help me to have a word, whether it be on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, and that word just kept coming up in my head, truth, truth, truth. And I was like, okay, God, what do you want to talk about here? What's this about? So I tried to think about the word in general, just the word truth, and to think about what that word means. How would you define truth? What would be your definition of truth? So the first few things that came to my mind were fact, absolutes, concrete, black and white, this or that, truth or fallacy. Like there's no middle ground there. Well, and as I kind of sat on that through a little bit longer through the day, I realized that because something is accepted as fact doesn't always mean it's true. Because there was a time in our history where it was accepted as fact that the earth is flat. We now know that it's not. It was also accepted as fact that the earth was the center of this solar system. We now know that that's the sun. So because something is accepted as fact, doesn't mean that it's truth. So then, what is truth? What could truth be? Well, in our society, we see that truth can be dictated by circumstances. Truth can be dictated by situations. Truth can be dictated by eras of time. They change. The only thing that doesn't change, the only thing that truth that is 100% concrete, that was the same in the beginning and will be the same in the end, is the Word of God. So today I want to talk to you guys about 3 points about truth. Number one, let's establish what truth is. What is truth? Number two, we're going to talk about what happens when we have an encounter with the truth. And number three, we're going to talk about how we enact the truth. So the first thing, we've kind of jumped into that a little bit. What is the truth? What is truth? Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That is a truth. That will never change. God set it into motion and did it however he wanted to. We see how it's recorded in the Word. It might have gone a little bit different. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I know that he did it. He created the heavens and the earth. That's what he did. So what happened when I was typing that word out, I began to think about that. I typed the word trith, which is not a word. It probably won't be a word. But what I realized is that I had spelled the word truth wrong. And I had taken the foundational parts of that word and placed it something else in that place. And what happens is when I began to mess with the foundations of what that word was, it became useless. The word truth is something we can use in normal vernacular, but the word trith is nothing. And what happens is when we begin to mess with the foundations of what the Word of God is, we begin to change it in a way that it becomes useless. So as I was thinking about that through the day and thinking about how I could relay this message to you guys, I felt like God was showing me an acronym of the word trith. And when we mess that up, what happens? And the acronym would be, this really isn't that helpful. Right? Trith. This really isn't that helpful. And that's what happens, is sometimes in our life, and we can take the truth and we can take the Word of God, but we don't take it in its entirety. We take bits and pieces and try to make that work for whatever situation that we're in. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that gives us hope. But sometimes it begins to not take on the fullness of what the Word of God is. So there are times in my life where I've quoted scriptures, and I know you guys have done it too. I've quoted scriptures like it's my job, man. Like that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm so alone and I'm so just distraught or in a dark place. And I remember the scripture that talks about God will never leave us or forsake us. And I will just quote that over and over and over in my head. But that in and of itself is not the entirety of the Word of God. And if I only live in that moment, I don't get the fullness of what the truth is. So today, to establish what the truth is, we realize and we can accept, I feel like, in this room, that the truth is the Word of God. 100% truth. Cover to cover, page 1 to page 3005. I don't know. Your Bible probably has different pages than mine. I don't know how many mine has. But from cover to cover, it is truth. Everything in between, it is truth. So the important part of this, to establish what truth is to remember that the Word of God is truth in its entirety. It's easy for us sometimes to take the bits and pieces and to try to make it fit and to try to work and to try to become a band-aid for us for whatever situation that we're in. And it is helpful to do that. But it's also important to remember that it's not all about the nice things that we remember in Scripture. It's about the Word of God. There's a set of standards throughout this Word of God that our relationship with Him has to be built on. And if we disregard those standards and we don't obey those standards, we notice that we're separated from God. And when we disregard the standards of what the Word of God says, we see that we don't have that relationship. And that's because of sin. So the first thing today, let's establish what the truth is. The truth is the Word of God in its entirety, cover to cover. Can we agree on that this morning? It's okay to talk. You guys can amen. You can do whatever. You can even jump up and clap. It don't bother me at all. I might do the same thing if you guys do that. You can even do it on Facebook. Type it in the comments there. Let's be active today in that. So we established that the Word of God is the only truth, the one that's going to stand the test of time. Well, the next part of that takes us a little bit deeper is that we have to have an encounter with the truth in a way that makes us different. In a way that when we encounter it in this instance, whether it be once or twice or however it is in your life, we're changed from the way we were before. And I tried to think about that, and I tried to think about what difference, how do we take the words of the Bible and make them applicable and make that something different. And I feel like that is where God had a plan for us in that. And in John chapter 1, verse 1. We can read that on the screen here. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So when we see that we've established the Word of God as truth. But in this scripture, we also see that the Word of God is more than that. The Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So as we begin to interpret that spiritually, we see that the Word of God is also who Jesus was. Jesus was the Word of God. And God sent him to be with us in the flesh. That's how, when we read the scriptures, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So not only did we have the words of God written down on a page, we have a tangible example of the Word in our lives. And that's where we get the encounter of the Word. That's where we have that moment where we see the Word was more than just letters after letters with grammar and punctuation the way it was supposed to be. It becomes something that can change us. It becomes something that's alive. My Bible by itself is an inanimate object. It will never be alive. But because of Jesus and because of the way God sent Jesus to earth and to become the Word in flesh, it is a living Word of God. And that's what allows us to be changed. And that's what allows us to be different than we were before. And in another scripture here we have on the screen, we'll go through an account of where someone had an encounter with Jesus that changed them. And we can see that the truth was displayed in this situation, but it also was given a new identity as well. So let's read here. It's a few verses. You guys just kind of hang out and bear with me while we get through it. John chapter 8, verse 2. We'll start there. It says, "At dawn, he went to the temple complex again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down, and he began to teach them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. 'Teacher,' they said to him, 'this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?' They asked this to trap him in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to him, 'The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her.' Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. And when they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left, being Jesus, with the woman in the center. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' 'No one, Lord,' she answered. And he said, 'Neither do I condemn you,' said Jesus. 'Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore.'" So in this instance, it would be like right now. I'm up here, we're preaching, we're having church, everything's going good. Somebody storms through this door, there's a group of people, they throw a lady right here in front of the altar, and they say, "Hey, she was caught in the act of adultery, what do you want us to do about it? The law says we should stone her." And what they did is they brought the truth. The law was the truth. It's written in the Bible. In the Old Testament, that was exactly what Moses said through the law, that someone caught in that act was to be stoned. But what they didn't understand was that the truth, because of those words, the purpose of the truth was not to just create a set of rules and regulations to follow. It was set forth to create and to remedy the lack of relationship with God and his people. And what happened there was they threw her at his feet and they said, "Look, God," or "Look, she was caught in the act of adultery. We're supposed to stone her." And what happened was when she had an encounter with Jesus, the flesh, the Word in flesh, it changed. He began to show her that it wasn't just about rules and regulations. And he also began to show the scribes and the Pharisees it was about the Word becoming flesh to create and to restore that relationship with God. And so what we look at here, number one, we establish what the truth is. Number two, we encounter the truth in a way that's real. we encounter the truth in a way that makes it present right now. And a way that I can relate this to you guys, I told you earlier that I got a degree in nursing and practiced nursing for probably 5 or 6 years. But when I was in nursing school, it was just didactic education. There was some lab stuff to it, but for the most part, it was, this is how the body works. This system relates to that system, relates to this system, relates to this system. This happens as a result of this through the body and all of these things. Well, that was all just words. That was all just things that I could recite to you, the correct levels of what electrolytes should be in the body, the correct vital sign levels and ranges that are normal for people. All of those things I could recite to you. But until I was actually standing beside a bed with a stethoscope in my ears, putting that stethoscope on someone's chest and listening to them, I could talk about breath sounds all day long. And I could tell you that there are crackles in the lungs, and there are clear breath sounds, and there are coarse crackles and fine crackles. But until I heard it with my own ears, it was just words. And until these guys had that encounter with Jesus, the word that became flesh, the words of the law to them were just words. They were just a set of rules. They were just a set of things that they were trying to live by. But when they became in direct contact with who Jesus is, it began to change. And he showed them what that was about. And in our lives, when we have that encounter with Jesus, and we have that encounter where God allows those words to just be, to not just be those letters after each other again, but to become alive and to become real and to become what God, to restore that relationship with us, it changes us. It makes us different. And that's what allows us to be effective to those around us. So we talked about, number one, establish what truth is. What is the truth? It's the Word of God. Number two, how do we encounter the truth? We encounter that through God's plan for us, that Jesus was the Word and he became flesh and he was here with us. And we understand that when we become saved, we encounter that truth in a way that changes our lives. Well, that's all well and good, but what happens after that? Well, the last point to talk about today would be to enact the truth, to be able to extend that truth to others around us, to be able to take what we know and to be able to give it to someone else in a way that creates change in our world. And I think that we could all agree today that our world is getting a little bit more scary every day. There's something different, I feel like, every single day that we're dealing with, whether it's the COVID-19 or civil unrest or the foundations of the world or the foundations of the church in our country that we're struggling with and we're watching erode. The world needs truth. This world around us needs the truth of God. And it's our job to do that. So, as Christians, we understand what the truth is. We understand that through that encounter, we have been made different. But if we just stop there, we don't invoke change. We don't create or become a catalyst to those around us to help them get to Jesus in the way that we have. So, when we look back at the scripture about how Jesus talked to the lady and how he spoke to the lady that was thrown at his feet, we see an example of how to enact that truth. So they come in, they throw her at his feet, and they tell her what the word says. The law of Moses says stone her. And he never says that's not true, because that's the word. That is truth. But what he did was look at her and be able to talk to her in a way that changed her life. He never condoned what she did. He knew what she was doing was wrong. But he said it with such a spirit of love that it created a change in her. He looked at her. He ran off the people that were trying to accuse her, and he spoke to her and said, "Where are they that condemn you? Where are they at?" And she said, "They're not here." He says, "Neither do I. I don't condemn you." But he gives her the challenge to go and sin no more. And in that, we see that we have the opportunity to be able to enact the truth the same way. To be able to speak to those people around us who have contradicting beliefs to the Word of God. and the people that we come in contact with that say, hey, what do you believe about this? Or what do you believe about that? The truth of God and the Word of God allows us to stand on His Word and to be able to create that change and become that catalyst in a way that is something that can actually change. But to do that, we can't just go full on right at somebody with the Word of God. And I spoke in the first service talking about when I was younger, my little brother and I would have this game where we would speak to each other in movie quotes only. And we, you know, if you couldn't carry on the conversation, you couldn't speak the next word or the next phrase with a movie quote, you lost. It was like a game we would play. And I feel like that I talked about in the first service too. Roxanne knows the Word of God better than anybody I think I've ever met. And I think she could do that with people, to engage in a conversation and speak in only Scripture. But that in itself would be useless. If Roxanne just speaks in Scripture to someone, it just becomes offensive and abrasive and talks about change, but it doesn't give the love or the hope that allows those person to find that change. Until she begins to speak that word from her heart, and until she begins to speak that word from what she's experienced herself, it's just words. It's just going into the air. And until we can do that ourselves, until I can tell you specifically about a time where I know 100% that God proved to me that He would never leave me or forsake me, it's just words. If I just say that to you, it's like, yeah, that's cool. But until you know that, until you speak from your heart on that, people aren't going to believe it. It's just going to be like, yeah, that's a cool thing to say. But I remember there were times in my life where it felt like the sun was not going to come up. It felt like tomorrow was going to be exactly like today was, and that was a terrible way to live. But I also remember how I found victory in that. And I found victory through God showing me and having an encounter with Him that allowed me to see that it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be the way that it was yesterday, today, or tomorrow. And the Word is what helped me realize that. When I began to see that Jesus and God was the one who was never gonna leave me. There would be people around me that I felt like wouldn't listen to me. There would be times where I felt like I was the only person in the world when there were 200 other people in the room. But I knew that God was there. I knew 100% that God was there. And what happens when we try to enact the truth and we try to just speak truth to people, but we're only speaking the words, and we're not speaking it through our heart, you might as well be saying the Pledge of Allegiance to people. It's the same. You might just be saying, you know, some random saying. But what happens when we believe that word 100% and we're able to speak from our heart, it creates change. It allows us to see the change around us. So, to recap and to go back over it, first thing, let's establish what truth is. It's the 100% Word of God. Not bits and pieces, not a little bit of it here and there, not rearranged to fit our schedule or our circumstances. It's the Word of God cover to cover. Let's make it truth, not trith, where it's, this really isn't that helpful. Let's make it truth. And what I mean by that is to let's change that acronym to something that is useful. And that when you change that around, it's the real understanding through Him. And what happens there is that's where the encounter comes. So we establish what it is and we make it exactly the way it is. The Word of God, not messed up or distorted or skewed in any way. It becomes the real understanding through Him. And when we get to that point, we can have that encounter to where we're changed. When we have that real understanding, we are changed. We're different. We're confronted with the truth in a way that says, this is the way you are now, and this is how I want you to be to restore that relationship. And then after that, God calls us to go forth, to be fishers of men, to do those things, but to enact the truth in a way that has a spirit of love about us that doesn't condemn people, but also doesn't accept or condone the actions that are different from the Word of God. But when we do that in a spirit of love and we do that with a heart to bring people to Jesus, we can change the world. So today, I challenge you to think about where you're at. What point are you on? Maybe you're standing there today or sitting there today and you're thinking, man, I don't know what this is about. Truth this, truth that, Bible this, Bible that, whatever. Maybe you've never had that experience. Maybe you've never been confronted with the truth of God. Well, the Bible says that because of Adam's sin in the beginning, we are sinners too. And our relationship with God has been severed because of that. But it also says that he sent his son to die for us. And he sent his son to die on a cross to be the sacrifice for our sins. And rose from the grave so that we can be joined with him again. And we can restore that relationship with him again. And that sin is then removed from the equation. It's taken out of the way because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you don't know him. Or maybe you're stuck at the point where you know the word and you can recite the word, but you've forgotten the encounter. You've forgotten where the power comes in. You've forgotten that plug-in where you remember exactly what happened. And I challenge you to think back in your life to the day that you were saved, or a day that you were delivered, or a day that you were healed, or a day that you saw God do an incredible thing. And remember what that did inside you. And remember how that changed you from that day to the next day. And then, don't stop there. Maybe you know the truth. Maybe you remember that encounter and you're really excited about it, but you don't enact the truth on the daily. You don't deliver that truth to people in a way that helps change our society. And I think that I'm guilty of that some days too. Like, I know the word. I could quote scripture to you. I feel like it is true. I know it's true. I remember the encounters that I've had with God. But there are days where I don't deliver that truth to those around me. I find the easy way out, and I don't say to people and try to change the situation around me rather than just accepting it. And maybe that's where we are today. Maybe we're stuck there. And I think as the church as a whole, we've allowed ourselves to go to sleep for a while and to not speak the word of God because we're scared it may offend someone. Or we're scared it's going to cause fights or fuss or whatever. And we're challenged to just be accepting. Or we're pushed to be tolerant of this and that. And it's not about that. It's not the government's job to tell us what our morals should be, because we can see in our lives around us that contradicts the word of God. The government doesn't have to follow the word of God. But as Christians, we can and we do. And when we begin to deliver and enact that truth in a way with an attitude of love, we can see that it becomes not palatable in a way, but it helps us to be able to help change the world around us. I know that when I am talking to my wife or my kids, and I can speak truth, what I'm saying is 100% true. But the way that that's accepted and the way that that is interpreted by either my wife or my kids is based on my heart in that. If I'm just angry and if I'm just mad and if I'm just saying, this is what happened and this is what needs to change and this is why it's wrong, it's not going to change. Somebody else is going to get mad. My kids are going to get mad and stomp off and tell me how mean I am. Or my wife is going to get upset with me and talk to me about my attitude and how it's not Christ-like and how it's not being the leader of my home and not being a good husband. But if I say that and I say, hey, Brianna, this is something I'm struggling with. This is something that I feel like is wrong in our house, and I would love to be able to help change that. I'm going to be so much more received. We're going to have some change in my house if I can do it that way. And that's the way it is when we deliver that word to the people around us. If we come at people real hot and mad and hellfire and brimstone kind of word, people just shut their ears off. Just turn them off. Whether they got hearing aids or not, they're not listening to you. But if we come to them and we say, hey, man, I've been where you are. I know what you deal with. I've been who you are. But I'm not that anymore. Let me tell you why. I had an encounter with Jesus. I had a moment where I came in direct contact with what the truth was. And it changed me. and it can change you too. Is what you're doing wrong? Yeah, it is. But I know how you can fix it. I know how you can be different. You got to change. And that's what Jesus did with the girl that they threw at his feet. She was confronted with the truth. She had an encounter. And he spoke to her in a way that showed her how much he loved her in the middle of her sin. She was caught in the very act of that sin. But when she had an encounter with him, she was able to change. She was able to be different than she was before she met him. And as Christians, I challenge you, yeah, speak the truth. Man, be real. Talk about, ain't that the truth? But do it in a way that's loving. Do it in a way that Jesus would do it to you. And as Christians, we're called to be Christ-like, and he gave us a perfect example right there. So today, Roxanne's going to get ready to play for us here. I'm going to pray. Think about where you are. What point of these are you on right now? Where do you fall in this little cascade of things? Are you stuck at, I don't know that it's true. I don't believe maybe fully that the whole Word of God is true. It can't be true. We're dinosaurs in the Bible or whatever, something like that. Whatever's hanging you up. Or maybe you're at the point where you understand that it's truth, but you've forgotten that encounter. You've forgotten what it was like to come before Jesus as a sinner and leave as someone saved. Challenge you to go back there. Go to that spot. Go to that time in your life. Remember that and remember how it changed you. And allow that to recharge your batteries. Maybe you're past both of those. Maybe you're like me some days, where I'm stuck at the point where I know who I am, I know who God had called me to be, but I don't do it. I'm guilty of not enacting that truth. Or I do it in a way that's mean or violent. I challenge you today to figure out where you are there. You guys pray with me this morning. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you did set forth your word as an absolute truth. God, we thank you that you created a plan for us to be in relationship with you. And you also had a plan in that to get what separates us from you out of the way. And that being sin. And God, I pray that you would help us today to understand that truth and to understand it fully. And to go from not messing up the foundational truths of what the Word of God is by taking this and that and replacing you with I and putting ourselves in the middle of that word and messing it up. God, but to go from this really isn't that helpful to be able to see the truth as the real understanding through him and that him being you. Help us today to see that. God, remind us of that encounter. Remind us of that time where you 100% changed our life. Maybe there was multiple ones. Maybe it was our salvation, and then it was a deliverance, and then a healing, and then another thing. God, you do that on the regular. You don't just stop at salvation with those miracles. God, you do them all the time. Remind us of those. And God, give us such a charge and such a burn inside of us to speak the truth to those around us. To be like you and be able to speak 100% truth, but in a way that is so loving that it evokes change. It doesn't create discord and it doesn't create division and violence. It creates unity and oneness, God. And allow us to change our nation and to change the world through that truth, but through a spirit of love that comes from underneath and to begin to be a servant through that love, God, rather than an overbearing and yelling down on someone around us and condemning them. God, help us to be that kind of Christian. Help us to be that kind of man and woman of God. We love you and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that your word challenges us. We thank you that your word encourages us and keeps us close to you. And today I pray that you would help us in those points. To your name I pray. Amen.